Current State, Mid-Michigan's meeting place for the informed, the caring, and the curious. Welcome back to our Day Before Thanksgiving Day edition. Wednesday means it's time for our Neighbors in Action segment, where we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. Today, we talk to Michigan State University's Student Food Bank. The organization is run by MSU students and helps provide food assistance to their undergraduate and graduate peers on campus. Director Nate Smith-Tighe joined us yesterday to talk about the food bank's work. He says challenges for students trying to put food on the table have shifted with demographics of who is attending college.
You know, the first sort of challenge is the idea that all college students are 18 to 22-year-olds right out of high school with support from home, mm-hmm. What we would sort of define as a traditional student. And actually, the majority of post-secondary institution students across the country now are not traditional students. They're the non-traditional students. So they're students who are returning to school after working or being in the military or raising a family and going to school at the same time and working and doing all these other sorts of things. So that notion of the traditional student still is valid for a lot of students, but it's not for all students. So students face, these non-traditional students, if you will, face different sorts of challenges, one of which is food insecurity. So not knowing where their next meal is going to be coming from, which is sort of one of those basic needs that has to be addressed before they can focus on the other things like the academic, school, family, those kinds of things. So that's where we try and step in, is to fill that gap.
Speaking of misconceptions, though, I also flash back on a couple of years ago over the controversy over college students being able to use bridge cards mm-hmm. for food assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think for a certain, we serve a fair amount of international students at our student food bank. So for a fair amount of our students, that was never really an issue because they were international students and weren't eligible for the bridge card. But for the students that were eligible for the bridge card and used it, a lot of them have been able to still stay on the bridge card just by, you know, showing their income and falling within the income category. So there was a certain segment of the population, I'm sure, that was abusing the privilege with that automatic qualification of being a college student, being automatic qualification. So there probably was a policy correction that made a little bit of sense, but still having that needs assessment was very important, and having a needs assessment that reflect the realities of students in particular was important. So by and large, that didn't affect our numbers too much, but I think it did sort of feed into that perception of, you know, the college student not really needing these kinds of services when we know that there's a population out there that certainly does need the services and relies on them.
Nate Smith-Tighe is our guest here today on Current State's Neighbors in Action. Nate is the director of the MSU Student Food Bank. Tell us more about who you serve. Is it a lot of undergraduates?
It's probably about 60-40 graduate to undergraduate, probably about 50-50 domestic to international. And then, you know, the students come from all programs on campus, you know, all different sorts of walks of life, you know, from people who live alone to people who have a family of 5 to 6 people. So it's really runs the gamut. And we serve on average about 250 people at a distribution. We have biweekly distributions every other Wednesday. So every year, that's around 4,000 students and their family members over the course of the academic year, so fall, spring, and summer semesters.
Slightly skewed toward graduate students, mm-hmm. though. Is that because they're more likely to have cut the ties from their first family or maybe have families of their own?
Sure. I think that's part of it, too. And then the other part is that you have a fair amount of the graduate student population that's trying to get by. As you say, they're on their own. They're trying to get by on GA stipends and those kinds of things, which, you know, some things pretty short after they pay the rent and do some of those sorts of things.
What kind of impact does being food insecure have on students' lives?
Well, it sort of, it's, you know, if you talk about the Maslow hierarchy, it's one of those sort of basic things, and it really affects then their ability to focus, their ability to, whether it's, you know, from a practical standpoint, it affects their ability to be able to take that extra class or buy the materials needed for class, some of those kinds of things. At the graduate student level, it can, of course, be a distraction and add to the stressor. Really, what we sort of view our role as is relieving a stressor in people's lives. So if we can take that worry, that concern off of their plate, cut their grocery bill in half, and make sure that they have their basic needs met so that they can focus on those other things that will allow them to be successful academically, professionally, and with their families and in their social lives, that's really important. So we view our role as being a stress reliever and taking that taking that out of the equation so they can focus on the other things that are important.
The MSU Food Bank, I remember, was written up in Time Magazine back in 08. Mm-hmm. And at that time, one student said that the food bank actually enabled her to stay in school. Mm-hmm. In 2014, does the MSU Food Bank make that kind of difference?
I really think we do. And I, you know, we hear that. We do an annual survey of our clients and sort of ask them open-ended questions to get that, to see if that we're still having that kind of impact, get that kind of feedback. And we get that feedback quite often. Yes, the food bank made the difference in being able to stay in school or not having to stop out for a semester to have to work to raise up a bunch of money to pay for things. And then, you know, also we'll hear things like, I was able to take that extra class so I could stay on time to graduate, or I didn't have to work as many hours so I could focus on my homework. Those are the kinds of stories we hear all the time. And so we're trying, is our sort of next phase, our next evolution of where we're trying to go. We're going to really try and sort of quantify that a little bit more so we can actually have some actual sort of hard data numbers to share with people to really show that impact. Right now, the stories are powerful, but we're working on generating some numbers that will back those stories up as well.
Nate Smith-Tighe, director of the MSU Student Food Bank, is our guest here today on Current State's Neighbors in Action. MSU Student Food Bank's been around since 1993, mm-hmm. but the number of food pantries on college campus elsewhere has shot up in recent years. What do you think is behind that increase?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably, as I've thought about this, there's about four factors at play that I sort of identify in talking with the other campuses that have come up with this. And I think first off is that there are a lot of campuses that are beginning to recognize that this is a student population that's always been there. It's sort of been a hidden student population, but people are more and more starting to become aware that, yes, these students I have are on campus. They have been on our campus. We need to provide services to support them. Secondly, I think the overall cost of attendance that has gone up has had an impact. So as it costs more, not only for tuition, but also room and board and just those other costs associated with attendance have gone up, the need to address food insecurity has gone up as well. As I mentioned, there is the now that the non-traditional student is more of the average student, if you will. Those kinds of services that you need to provide to that kind of student population is different. So that's the other factor. And then I think the fourth factor is that the overall economy, you know, we haven't seen much of an increase in actual real wages for most earners. And the overall economy, while we're doing well in the aggregate numbers, for a lot of people, those numbers really haven't improved that much or they've stayed pretty stable. So there's fewer resources, even for the students who are supported from home, there's fewer resources for them. So I think those four factors are all at play in a different mix. And of course, each campus is different in how those factors interact. But I think those are really the four key factors that we've seen. You know, we've gone from 93 being the first one to now we estimate there's about 150 to 200 campus-based food pantries and food programs across the country.
You know, I understand you've played a role in advising the setup on mm-hmm. some of these other operations. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think people looking to set up a campus food pantry, they'll go Google search, they'll see, oh, MSU Food Bank founded in 93, they know what's happening, so we'll contact them. So we get about two or three emails a week from other campuses that are looking to set up campus-based food programs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Two to three a week?
Yeah, and it really, this past week I've heard from, now that I have to think about it, I'm going to forget the schools, of course, but I heard from a campus in Illinois, Elgin Community College. It's geographically diverse. It's across sectors. So it's community colleges to private schools. And as this was happening, I actually started talking with a colleague out at Oregon State who was interested in working on helping to support other campuses that were setting up food programs. And just so happened, we had this same idea that, hey, what we really need is a network, is an association for everybody to come together to make connections and share resources and share ideas. And so my colleague Claire and I at Oregon State founded the Campus and University Food Bank Alliance, or CUFBA. And so we've got that up and running, got a website up and running. So really is a resource, a connection point, an information sharing point for all these campuses now that are really starting up food programs.
Nate Smith-Tighe is director of the MSU Student Food Bank. You're listening to Current State's Neighbors in Action. Where do you get funding in your food donations?
So we are a registered student organization on campus, say that three times fast, but because of that, we're able to have our own 501c3, so we can raise funds separately from the university as though we are still, though, part of the university. So it's one of those interesting little niches within the campus structure that we occupy. So we do a lot of direct fundraising, and folks on campus and our prior donors here in the next week or so will be getting our annual newsletter, which is our primary fundraising tool. So we'll raise a lot of money from that, and then we're able to put most of the money that we raise from the newsletter into food purchasing. We're a member of the Greater Lansing Food Bank, which is the food bank supplier for a 7-county region here in mid-Michigan. So we're able to buy our food from Greater Lansing at about 60% below wholesale. So we can really stretch those dollars pretty far in terms of being able to make food purchases that we then distribute to the clients. Most of our focus is on fundraising, although we do accept donations of canned and non-perishable foods, and we'll distribute that to our clients as well. So we really focus on the newsletter, the Help Tackle Hunger Food Drive, which just concluded here with a football game over this last weekend. And then we also do a big event with the Rebounders Club and Mrs. Izzo at one of the basketball games. So those are sort of our big ones where we raise the money to really fund our food purchasing. And then we have great support from units on campus, the Provost's Office, Vice President of Student Affairs, Olin Student Health Services, and then COGS, the Council of Graduate Students, the Graduate Student Government, all provide funding support to really fund our operations so that all the money we raise we can put right into food purchasing. So it works out pretty well.
Do you have many volunteers?
We do. We have a small sort of, I call a part-time student staff that work about 10 to 12 hours a week. They're interviewers. They work distributions, deliveries, those kinds of things.
Unpaid.
No, they're actually paid. They're paid a small little amount, hourly rate.
Okay.
And those are people who typically had been our volunteers or sort of our all-star volunteers who then become our part-time staff members. And then we'll have typically on a distribution night right around 30 to 40 volunteers that come help process the orders, bag the food, stock the shelves, do all those kinds of things to help on our distribution nights. And so that's really how we are able to serve so many clients at a distribution is that we have great volunteer support.
If some of our listeners might be interested in volunteering, what kind of opportunities are there to help?
Well, there's two sort of different ways folks can volunteer. They can come to our distributions, and if they're interested in doing that, they can email me at foodbank@msu.edu, and I'll get them all the volunteer information. Or what they can also do is set up their own sort of food drive or fund drive to help support the food bank, which is always very helpful. And, you know, they can do that on their own time, whenever it works, and with whatever kind of program is most convenient for them. So really, if anybody's interested in helping, I just encourage them to email me at foodbank@msu.edu, and we'll make that connection and figure out what works best for them.
We've been talking about the MSU Student Food Bank with Director Nate Smith-Tighe. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Thank
and good
you.
Luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We could always use more nominations, and we know there are people in orgs out there that are doing great work. We need to find out about them. Please help us out and tweet us suggestions at KAR Current State or send us an email to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.